come, focus in, put your eyes on Him.
Your face is beautiful, and your eyes are like the stars. Your gentle hands of healing, there inside the scars. Your loving arms, they draw me near, and your smile, it brings me peace. Draw me closer, oh my Lord, draw me closer, Lord, to Thee. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, set our eyes on You. Rushing river, draw nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with You. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with You.
Your voice is powerful, and Your words are radiant bright. Breath and shadow, I will come close and abide. You whisper love and light divine, and Your fellowship is free. Draw me closer, oh my Lord, draw me closer, Lord, to Thee. Captivate us, Lord Jesus. Set our eyes on You, devastate us with Your presence falling down. Rushing river, draw nearer, holy fountain, consume us with You. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with You. Let everything be lost in the shadows of the light of Your face. Let every chain be broken from me as I'm bound by Your grace. For Your yoke is easy, Your burden is light. You're full of wisdom, power, and might, and in every eye we'll see You. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, set our eyes on You. Devastate us with Your presence falling down. And rushing river, draw nearer, holy fountain, consume us with You. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with You. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with You. Our eyes are indeed on You. You are our Savior, always our Savior. Our eyes are on You.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. You are a good, good, oh, You are good, good, oh, let the King of my heart
the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good.
You are good.
Good. Oh.
It's like he can't do it another way. He doesn't know how to not be good. His heart toward you, his purposes, his sovereignty toward you, all always good. He's good. He's good toward you.
Nothing can separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Oh, your love.
Is strong and the waters deep, but I'm not alone in these open seas, cause your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages.
Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Your love never fails.
You made all things work together for my good. You made all things work together for my good. All things work together for my good.
It's just how you are.
You may. All things work together for my good.
It's your nature, God.
You may. All things work together for my good.
Thank you, God.
You may. All things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails.
Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Nothing can separate, even if I run away. 'Cause your love never
I put all my hope on the truth of your promise, and I steady my heart on the ground of your goodness. When I'm bowed down with sorrow, I will lift up your name. Foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy, because you are good to me, good to me. You are good to me, good to me. You are good to me. I lift my eyes to the hills where my help is found. Your voice fills the night. Raise my head up and hear the sound. The fires burn all around me. I will praise you, my God. Foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy, because you are good to me, good to me. You are good to me, good to me. You are good to me, because you are good to me, good to me, you are. good to me. You are
so
good to me. Your goodness and mercy shall follow me all my life, trusting your promise.
Chase us down.
Your goodness and mercy shall follow me all my life, trusting your promise. Your goodness and mercy shall follow me all my life, trusting your promise.
Because
you are good to me, good to me. You are good to me, good to me. You are
so
good
to me.
Because you are good to me, good to me. You are good to me, good to me. You are good to me.
Change. You are the God you say you are. When I'm afraid, you calm and still my beating heart. You stay the same. When hope is just a distant thought, you take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this, that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess, you're always calm and still my beating heart. You stay the same. When hope is just a distant thought, you take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this, that you gave your life for me?
You're all I need.
see the scars upon your hands and hold the truth that when I can't, you always can. I'm standing here beneath the shadow of the cross.
Message from the Lord that I'd like to hear this morning again. Did you know that God uses the phone sometimes? I guess so. You know, he's up to speed. He's tech savvy and he's a good guy. I was thinking about the love of God, and I just want to mention something. If we're in this room, we don't ever worry about whether or not we can breathe. The air is always there. Just open your mouth or whatever. Inhale, exhale. It works. And that's just a natural reality. But I think that one of the things that we should recognize that God's spiritual reality, the love of God, is more present and more available and more real than the air that we breathe. And the thing that I wanted to just put out there before you this morning is that we think of the love of God often with the constraints of a natural mind, and that if I'm good, he'll love me more. If I'm bad, he'll love me less. If I screw up too many times, he'll love will just fade away and there'll be nothing left. And that's all natural thinking. God is love, and the love is eternally present and eternal real. Either he loves us perfectly, which means perfectly, or something less than perfectly. I would like us this morning to recognize that his love is perfect, and it is contingent on him, not on us. Is that valuable? It'd be nice to let that in really, really deep, because when things are rough and things are going bad, you wondered, is God on vacation, or has he just decided not to love me anymore? And of course, that's the introduction of a lie. And his love is real. It's perfect. It's ongoing. It doesn't come and go. It's perfect. We may at times wonder, we may feel more or less, but the fact is that he's always loving us. And one valuable thing that you need to get a hold of on that, and then I'll shut up. If we don't arrive at that reality, then we will be in the place of trying to please God so that he'll love us. Wrong motivation. He loves us. And our desire to please him would come out of a recognition of that wonderful, wonderful grace that he has poured out upon us. And our response is to love him back with the love with which he gave us. Okay, Paula, do you have your phone, the message from God?
Yep.
And so now hear this. This came to Paula this morning, and I just felt like it was worth hearing.
The Father says today, I am one with you in the walk and in the way that you take. Every one of your days is written in my book as we walk the path together towards destiny's highest choice for your life at this time. There is no separation between us. The distance you perceive at times between where you are and where I am is fiction without substance or reality. I am near to you, says the Father. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I will make my breath warm you in the night and wash over you in the day and make you clean. I am as near to you as hands and feet, yea, as the breath of your nostrils. Receive the refreshing of my nearness to you today, says the Father. Say within yourself, my Father is not a far-off God, for I am an ever-present help in your time of trouble. When you call upon me, my answer will be, here am I. I am a prompt defense, and I'm never late. Feel after my timetable and trust me in times of seeming delay. Every day's challenge will be met by my enabling grace to extinguish your adversary and bring you to rest and peace.
So Lord, we acknowledge that you are perfectly present always with love-driven, reaching, loving, healing, delivering, reaching. We thank you for the reality of the God who has caused our hearts to receive him. Cause our hearts to receive you, Jesus.
Father had a purpose for creating this cosmos. What's answer my question. What's your name? Say it out loud. Go ahead. You can say, you can't say George. You can say Hat. Okay. What's your name? That's the purpose God created this cosmos. Say it again. It's that he decided he wanted you. He wanted you. He created the cosmos so that he could connect with you. He full well knew that if he decided to pour out his incredible image on those made out of dust and dirt, that there would be some complications. And so, because he knew that was going to happen, he planned to have his justice and his mercy go off in the corner and conspire together to create an opportunity for that which is made out of dirt to become like him. He created time, and he made opportunity for us through the cross, through the blood of Jesus, to become like him. We live through life and we don't understand a lot of things. We go through life, and many of the things that we think we understand, we actually don't. And many of the things that we don't understand, yep, we don't. In fact, the truth of the matter is, the humility that says, I don't fully understand everything, God, is a really powerful place to live. But I will say to you that God created the cosmos for you and for me, for sons and daughters, and his purpose is inexorable. He will accomplish his purpose. He will have sons and daughters. It will occur. And it's not because you're good enough, and it's not because of anything except that he's good enough, and he is powerful enough, and he will accomplish. You and I, we screwed up. So God made a way that he could look right through that screw up and see us and accomplish goodness for us. Do you know that God doesn't love you despite your sin? He just loves you. It doesn't even count your sin against you. It's just like he did a miracle via his son on the cross such that he could see you clearly without sin. It's an amazing thing that he accomplished. I want to talk to you very briefly. This I haven't got to the message quite yet here, just to let you know, but I want to talk to you briefly about the cross. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was a powerful, powerful thing. It was powerful from an eternal perspective. It enabled that which was made of dirt and had become dirty. Okay, so it started out dirt and then it got dirtier from there, okay? It enabled that which was made of dirt and then became dirty to become holy, okay? Just a pretty amazing, amazing thing. It made that which was time-like able to put on immortality, put on eternity. It was a miracle that occurred at the cross. The miracle at the cross, however, should never, ever be limited in any fashion. Very often, it's easy for us to believe in the salvation, the atonement, the redemption, the availability of eternity to us. But let me say to you that every good and perfect thing is purchased via the cross. Every good and perfect thing has been purchased for you
via the cross. Jesus' shed blood was sufficient to save every individual on the planet. And when I say the word save, I mean everything that that word could possibly mean, save. I mean bring each and every person into complete connection with the Father, that make enable each and every person to be receive the Holy Spirit and everything that comes with the Holy Spirit, the gifts of healing, the gifts of prophecy and tongues and the ability to come into all truth, the ability to know God personally, intimately, increasingly. The sacrifice on the cross enabled healing from an eternal perspective. A healing of relationship between man and God. A healing of man to become alive again. But it also provided all that was necessary to heal man's soul. The confusion, the lies, the deception. Thoughts that deceive, emotions that deceive, all available to be healed through that one insane miracle on the cross. It also provided the power to heal our bodies. A question for you. Is it God's will for you to be reconciled to Him? I didn't hear very many people. I heard a few people. Is it God's will for you to be completely reconciled to Him? Is it God's will that you know His perfect will for your life? Is it God's will for you to hear His word and be conformed to Him and His word? Let me ask you this. Is it God's will for you to have the mind of Christ, to know things that you got no business knowing? Is it God's will that that happen? Is it God's will for your emotions to reflect the reality of God in your life? Is that God's will for you? Is it God's will for you to operate in complete health, physically speaking? Is it God's will for you to live in the completeness of His salvation? Well, then why do you still have trouble? We're in the world. Jesus promised, in the world you will have trouble. It was a good promise. It really was. It was a very good promise. In the world we'll have trouble. It's true. So should we expect that overcoming that He said He'd accomplished should show up in our lives? Or should we expect that it won't? I'm just wondering. Just help me out, somebody. We should expect that it shows up, right? Well, so then, if we're expecting that, then are we... So by tomorrow we should be perfect, am I right? Should we be all set by tomorrow? Why? Why not? We're still not in a... You know what? Can I just tell you the real answer is? Because God did it a different way. We don't really fully understand everything. Can I just say that? We don't. His purposes in the trouble that he promised us, okay? He did overcome. He overcame. And he made you an overcomer too, right? And so his purpose for you is to be overcoming. Okay, that's fact. Okay, no doubt about it. But his purposes are very good and very much beyond your understanding. You can throw darts at it and sometimes hit the mark, okay? But the truth of the matter is that it's bigger than you thought. It's better than you understood. It's more than was even conceivable in your mind. And each time you think you get it, that's good, I'm glad, get more. There's yet more to be understood. More important that you accept than that you're healed, is that what you said?
And that I can understand, even though I don't understand.
Okay, so accept more, and expect and accept that there is more that you don't understand. It's essential that we go there. Here's the real deal. He has a purpose that's beyond every purpose that you understand. And you, we can kind of frame it. We can say, oh, we want to become, you know, just like him, in all of his image. Okay, great. What does that mean? Yeah, you know some of that. But the reality is that there's more to him than you've ever understood before. There's more to him, more to his goodness and more to his life than you get. We're going to go after some of that today. My encouragement for you is to grab a hold of a process today and operate together. We're going to do some corporate operation. My encouragement for you two is to grab a hold of a process that is operative for you on Monday and Tuesday and various Mondays and Tuesdays, but not just operative for you, but is operative for others in your world on various Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I'm going to try to go quickly through a quick teaching. It comes out of the entire book of Job, 40-some-odd chapters. I'm only going to refer to a few of them briefly. In chapter 1, we find out there's this great guy named Job. He was blameless. I have a question for you. Anybody here blameless? Yep. Yep, there's one. There's a few more. We are, in fact, blameless. Want to know why we're blameless? Because he sees right through our stupid and our sin. Want to know why? Because there's a miracle that happened on the cross. He was blameless, Job was. 7 sons, 3 daughters, tons of sheep and oxen and camels. Amazing. Really, he was doing it right. He pursued God, not just for himself, but for his kids. He pursued, he pursued, he pursued. And then something happened. Anybody remember what happened? Before that, there was a conversation in the heavenlies. So I'm going to rush right to the end. Okay? We'll go through it again in a moment. But right through to the end, let me just say that Job was destined for an upgrade in his relationship with God. And so God said to Satan, hey, you seen my boy? God wanted to give Job something good. And so God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the earth, blameless and upright, fearing God, turning away from evil. And Satan, of course, being the accuser, the adversary that he is, he says, well, yeah, that's just because you're nice to him. And the Lord says, go be my tool then, ha. Take it away and see what happens. So, a bunch of servants die. A bunch of oxen and camels die. His kids died. Fire falls from heaven. One of the servants thinks that it was from God. I have a question for you. Was it from God? No, yes. You're going to have to answer it both ways in order to satisfy me. The truth of the matter is that God let Satan do a thing. God allowed Satan to accomplish something. And so, you know, in the end, it's both yes and no. All right? Get comfortable not completely understanding, because if you think you completely understand, you're just wrong. Just FYI, fact. Okay? There you go. Fire away. Please do. Yeah.
We know the ending of the story where he, you know, gives them 10 more kids, but it's still, to me, I mean, your original kids, I mean.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have an answer to that. The Lord really worked me through that, because you know how important to us, our kids are pretty important, aren't they? You'll note, first of all, note chapter 1. So they had a good family dynamic going. They were, like, you know, feasting together, enjoying stuff together, verse 4. Verse 5, when the days of feasting were completed, Job would send and consecrate them. So he's concerned. He's working at these kids, okay? Rising up early in the morning, offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. He's not even saying, I saw them do something bad. He's just like, you know what, God, fix them even if I, you know, perhaps something happened, okay, right? And then they all die. Oops. Now, really quickly going to chapter 42. You'll notice, if you look at all of the numbers, Job started out in chapter 1 with 7,000 sheep. In the end, he had 14,000 sheep. And he started out with 3,000 camels. In the end, he got 6,000 camels, right? Doubled. But in this one case, he didn't double the kids. He only got 10 more. What happened? Well, the truth of the matter is that he didn't lose those kids. They got put in the bank. God said, hey, you know what? You want to keep those kids? You want to take care of them? You know, in fact, I'm going to do it right here and right now. Now, death, we often think of death in ways that isn't true, okay? God took those kids and saved them for Job. In my view, Job ends up with 20 servants of the Lord, children. Did God double them up in every way? He doubled them up in every way, both in time and in eternity. The reality is that God did double them. No. We could say, well, you know, but the kids lost, you know, the most of their lives, right? You know, presumably they could have lived. I mean, Job lived a few hundred years, apparently, you know, so these kids could have lived a lot longer, right? It's true. It's true. Was God good in that? He was good in that. Do I understand that completely? I don't understand it completely, okay? But what I do know is from God's standpoint, he doubled down on Job. He gave Job a double blessing. In the kid arena, just in the kid arena alone, he doubled down on Job and blessed him with twice as many kids. And the heart of Job that said, I really am worried about my kids. I want them to do well, okay? Was honored by God, both in the death of the first 10 and in the life of the next 10. Okay? So that's how I struggled with the same thing. Okay, so let me agree with you that it's a tricky thing. But I believe that it's very clear that God doubled him everywhere else. So why wouldn't he double him in one of the most important parts of his life? He did. He doubled him.
The true aspect on that is Job had faith in God.
He did.
So, okay, the children left this realm, but Job had faith that they went to a better place.
They did go to a better place.
Do you want your kids to suffer here, or would you have more faith saying, God, you're in control, you know what you're doing, you've taken my kids to your realm, which eventually I'll go to his heart. So that's Job's faith. That's the whole thing. He didn't look like he lost his children on this earth. He looked at it as like they went to the Heavenly Father.
Yep. He was kept.
Yep.
He was
and
kept.
All the things, in my personal opinion of Job is like, whenever he goes, oh, look at all the stuff that happened, Job's eyes were focused on God. He had faith in God. So when he was going, oh, you lost all your camels, he's like, what? Oh, yeah, that's okay. God has that. He wanted them for something. I don't know. His eyes were focused on God the whole time.
Well, it's true. I mean, he struggled. I mean, he's human, and he struggled with through the loss, okay? Let's face it. We have loss. We have difficulty. In this world, we'll have trouble. It's true. We have trouble, okay? But one of the key scriptures that is well quoted is, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Okay, the truth of the matter is that Job had a sense of eternity. He knew something about that which is bigger than life and death here and now. Okay, it's clear. There's something bigger. Job's children were, in fact, blessed by God. End of story. I don't fully understand that. I can't give you the accounting of every nickel and dime or every moment. I can't do it, okay? But I can tell you this, that Job's kids were blessed by God in the process, that I can tell you. Job was blessed in the process. You see, you know, if you go to the end, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He named the first Jemima, 2 Keziah, and the 3rd Karen Hapok. I forgot what those words mean, but you can go look them up if you want. And there were no women found so fair as Job's daughters. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. You'll see that actually, if you read between the lines in there, you see that God not only blessed him by doubling his kids, but he blessed him with a different perspective even on the ones he got. Okay, and Job, could I say, promoted women like it wasn't common for women to be promoted in Job's time. His daughters were inheritance-capable people, and he promoted them. That's a big deal, okay? Don't skip over that too quickly, because God did something. I mean, we know a lot of what God did, but God did something even in the kids, and he blessed the kids in powerful ways, and he blessed the generations powerfully, okay? All of the above. But I need to back up in order to go where I'm going. I want to back up just a little bit here, and I want to talk to you. I think it's still chapter 42. Job answers the Lord finally in chapter 42 and says, I know you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I have a question for you. What did God do, create this world for? Your name? Why did God create the heavens and the earth? The reality is he created the heavens and the earth because he wanted to have a son or a daughter named the same that you just said. And let me just say, there is no purpose of his that can be thwarted. Then Job says, who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Because God had said that to him. He says, look, I've decided that I did not understand. There were things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. You know, that's not a bad place to be, to recognize that you don't know some things that are too wonderful for you. It's not a bad spot. It's a good spot. It's a place of humility. It's a place where revelation is available. Again, Job quotes God, hear now and I will speak. I will ask you and you instruct me. Oh, no, God. No, don't wait for me to instruct you. He's saying, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. So there's a purpose. Way back at the beginning, chapter 1, hey, adversary, have you seen my servant Job? Can I tell you why God did that? Because of this verse right here. This verse right here. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. You have upgraded my capacity to understand you into another realm altogether. I now see you by my eye. I retract. I repent in dust and ashes. There's revelation. Well, I have a question for you, okay? If you had to give up one of these two senses, you had to give up hearing or sight, which would you do? You wouldn't want to, right? I got to tell you something. I have a hard time giving up my sight. You see what I'm trying to say? There was a revelation equivalent to he knew God. He loved God. He walked with God blamelessly. He was there with God. He heard God. But now, there's something huge that happened. Suddenly, whereas he only had ever heard before, now he popped out some eyeballs. And he could see and know something more than ever before. It was like he had a new dimension of reality with God. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. Job was scheduled for an upgrade by God. And because Job was scheduled for an upgrade, God said to the enemy, "Have you seen my servant Job?" In the world you will have trouble, but have courage, for I have overcome the world. You see, his purposes, oh yes, his purposes are to double things up for Job in time. But let me tell you, his purposes are to promote Job dimensionally in eternity. To go beyond, not just double. Okay, let me just tell you something. You could hear twice as much. Have two ears instead of one, okay? And that's not the same thing as suddenly deciding that you can see when all you could ever do before was hear. God scheduled an upgrade. And he used trouble to get him there. Not a bad thing. In fact, the truth is, he's good all the time. And in every portion, he's good. In every action, he's good. In every difficulty, he's good. In every tribulation or trouble, he's good. What did Job do that was good or not so good in those intervening chapters? Somebody, you know, shout out something. What did Job do? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So he trusted God despite it all. He was in great pain. He was horrified by the circumstances, right? And yet, he stayed in a place of trust. That was good. Anybody want to say anything else? He did put his hope in God. Let me tell you another thing. He refused to curse God and die like his wife suggested, right? That was a good thing that he did. Now, you could say that was a bad thing he didn't do, or maybe you could say that was a good thing he did do. But the reality is sometimes your trouble is really hard, okay? And sometimes it's amazing that you manage to just simply not curse God and die, okay? Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's a good thing to not curse and die, curse God and die. It's really good. And the truth of the matter is that God pushed him pretty hard. How much further could he push him? It actually took two iterations with Satan. You remember that, right? Go back to chapters 1 and 2, I forget where. But, you know, Satan comes along and says, you know, let me beat on him a bit. And God says, okay, beat him, just don't touch him. And so he beats on him, kills everybody and everything. And then Satan says, well, yeah, but you didn't let me touch him. And God says, well, don't take his life, but you can touch him, and he makes him sick. Okay, so he pushed it, and he pushed it. But he was faithful to trust. Now, you know what? He probably said some stupid things. I think he did. I'm not sitting here trying to judge the guy, okay? He was in pretty
tight. It's hard to know exactly what he did. He challenged God.
It seems it.
And God is willing to be challenged.
Yeah.
But you better have the right heart behind it. Yeah. So was it bad or good in his challenging God? I'm not sure.
Well, it's interesting.
God challenged him back again.
Well, and when God challenged him back, he just kind of capitulated, which was a good spot.
All done.
Capitulation before God is not a bad thing, okay? Just FYI. The thing I do like, so God here in 42 is talking to the friends that said all these nice and cute things that we'd all agree with, okay? This is God talking to those guys that said all these nice and cute things that we'd all agree with. He says, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right. Number one. Number two, as my servant Job has. Okay? So now Job didn't do so bad. Now Job knew he needed an upgrade. He did. And he repented so that he could acquire his upgrade. He wanted it bad. And God even gave a way out for those guys that spoke of him incorrectly and improperly and wrongly. In fact, Job was the way out. Job became a mechanism of the salvation of God for those that really weren't much of a beneficial mechanism to him, right? Okay, so let me back us up, okay? And I want us to understand the whole message that I'm saying. And then we'll move from there. Well, before I go there, sorry. One last verse. Comes out of James 5. This is a nice summary. A one-verse summary of the poor guy's life. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful. Here's the truth. You could sum up Job to say that he endured. And he did. He endured. He endured. And the outcome is the goodness of God expressed, yes, both in time and in eternity in Job's life. That's the one verse summary of the poor man's life. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. So, the truth is that whereas I said that, you know, God had two little interviews with Satan to put the pressure on Job and to put more pressure on Job, right? God knew Job. And he knew what he could handle. And God knows you. And he knows me. And he knows what I can handle. And the reality is, there is no temptation except it's common. And he knows precisely how much I can handle and the way of escape that he has provided. The truth. The truth. So we count those blessed who are endured. Now I have a question for you. Have you endured? Let me tell you, the answer is true, yes. Okay, now you could say, well, you know, I kind of screwed up over there. Well, you're probably right, okay? But you know what? You've endured. There have been difficult times, and you stood in your place. There's been times when, you know, somebody could have come along and said, curse God and die, you know, and you could have done that, and you didn't. And sometimes that was a big deal, okay? Just simply to stand in the place where you're called to stand, despite everything, to endure. Sure.
That was the only place that I could get any peace, was like praying to God, and he would give me the hope, like Joe, well, to know that he's on the other side.
Yeah.
He feels, he let me know who his living presence of the living God let me know that he was who he was. And like Job, there was another place, and that's forever. So that's where Jeremiah, he's not dead.
No, God has taken Jeremiah and brought him into his good, his place, because he's good. And it wasn't easy for you, okay? It wasn't easy for the child. It wasn't easy for the family, okay? It wasn't easy for any of us, okay? Let's face it. We didn't like this, okay? But out the other end is God's goodness. Fact. And you know what? And a testimony of God's goodness in you. The truth is that you endured that which many people can't endure, it feels, okay? And you endured with strength things that, it was almost impossible to deal with. Because of his truth, which gave you hope. But I want to say you, okay? I want you to understand, Shelley, that you exhibited strength, a toughness, and endurance. It's a good thing. Do you see it? And he did that for you. I mean, he didn't even have to give you your child, okay? But he gave you your child, and then he took your child away from you for your child's good and for your good. Now, that was hard. It was painful. But it was for good. Fact. It was for your good. Yes, it's for your child's good, but it's for your good that he did that for you. Well, the truth is, in this process, he created things in Shelley that she hadn't had before. Isn't that true, Shelley? It's the truth. The reality is that trouble is a mechanism that accomplishes the goodness of God as we endure. That's a truth, okay? And I'm not going to back off from that truth. I do want to juxtapose the truth because there's two sides of it. There's a cross. There's bloodshed. There's lashes received. There's punishment taken. And all of those things were for a purpose, i.e. a purchasing of wholeness, of health, of life, of eternal life, of mental health, physical health, spiritual health. All of that was for purchasing, and it was purchased. It was bought, okay? So I want to talk out of both sides of my mouth today. I want you to understand that your trouble is for your good and that God is using you to accomplish good in you. But I also want to say to you that the salvation that Jesus purchased on the tree is enough to reverse that. So when and what, George? Get it straight. Which is it? Do I endure this or do I see it healed? Do I operate in trusting of God, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Or do I pursue with faith the expectation of healing? And the answer is yes. There is, we go after all of it. And you guys know me. You know me.
We would like to figure it out in our head, and that yeah. God has to obey my theology. And so now God is subject to my theology rather than me trusting him to do what's good for me. I like my theology.
I want to go straight ahead here. And I want us to recognize some things. It's essential. What Dad just said is I'm not going to give you your answer. I'm not going to tell you whether you're just going to have to live with this or whether you're going to get healed. I'm going to tell you that it's God's purpose to heal you. I'm going to tell you that. Fact. He purchased it. He got it. Okay, he's after wholeness for you. And it'll happen. I just don't know when. But there is someone who knows exactly how and exactly when. It happens not to be me. I'm not the guy. But there is one who loves you perfectly, who knows the answer to all of that.
It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. That's Psalm 119:71. That God loves us enough to allow us to suffer, even as Christ suffered. But the end goal is that we would know him more. We would know and understand and comprehend and trust and believe and walk with him in such a way that we have greater faith because we've endured suffering.
It's so big what he's accomplishing in you and me. It's so much bigger than we... Oh, yes, we can throw our darts at it. And sometimes even we get on the screen, okay? But the truth is, it's bigger than we think. And it's better than we understand. Our best theologies only approximate the goodness of God toward us in the difficulties and then in the victories. Both. Because it's both, guys. It's both. So I want to say today that God has healing and life and freedom and salvation in every facet for you and for those you care about in the situations of your life. I want you to hear that. And I want you to understand that in the meantime, while you're enduring, that God is accomplishing good in you and in them. That's the facts.
One of the things that I know about the Lord, and so people always say things like, you can't, when you die, you can't take anything with you. But one of the things that I know is that when the Lord uses me in hardship, people see and they wonder, how in the world did she get through all this, still smiling, still joyful, and loving the Lord more, and they want whatever it is that I have. And then I have something that when I die, I've taken something with me, because those are the people that have seen and come to know the Lord, and the Lord gets glorified, I'm glorified. And then I have family I get to take with me. It's
the only thing. You take it with you, don't you? You do take it with you. That's the reality. There's stuff you don't take with you. But there's stuff you take with you. And in fact, there's stuff you can't not take with you because he guarantees it. He's that good. So here's the deal, guys. Today, I want to talk to you about this both end. I want to walk through the both end. And one of the key issues in the both end, okay, is you have to figure out how to live, right? It's not just that you hold both of these things at, you know, at arm's length and try to balance them. Okay, it's not just that. There's the word of the Lord. And in the right time, the word of the Lord comes to you. And in the right time, he says, this is how you do this. And this is how you think about that. And this is how you operate here. And here's my word for you now. And this is our life. That's how we live. The very substance of our life is knowing him and receiving his voice to navigate us here. Because let me say, you have trouble. I'm pretty sure you probably have trouble till you die. But in there, there's victories. There's healings. There's salvations of various ilks for you to acquire by faith and determination, having heard the Rhema word of God and the expressed faith that comes through that Rhema
to see appropriated the salvation that has previously been purchased for you. So let's walk. Let's do a little walking together. To do this, I'd like to encourage each of us to take in our hand, put into visibility before yourself a piece of difficulty in your own life. A situation, or it could be a healing, a physical healing or an emotional healing that you need. Or maybe it's for your child or your neighbor, or some other area of responsibility or heart you're caring for. So I don't want to be very theoretical here. We're not going to go through and have everybody share their own piece or whatever. That's not what I'm going to do here, okay? So it should be something that's meaningful to you personally, okay? And let's put this before us and expect God to speak to us and to walk us through the process of trusting Him though He may slay us and expecting His salvation together. Can we do that? Father, I just come before You. I come before You with gratitude because You are always so for our good and so for our highest good, higher goods than we would have chosen. We didn't even know we needed it. And You even, in that place, enable us to have difficulty because You're good and Your intent is to elevate us, to bring us to a higher place. So we worship You together because You're good. Always good. And we intentionally trust You. We entrust ourselves to You. We know we don't know enough to even say what we're saying. But we still know that we entrust ourselves to You because You're that good. Say with me, say, I trust You, Lord. Though You slay me, yet will I trust You. And now, Spirit, lead me into all truth. In particular, associated with this issue. Just hold, if you don't mind, close your eyes and just hold the issue before your God. By Your Spirit, Father, speak to Your people. Show us how we can yield to You in Your goodness. Show us, if You would, what You're promoting in us and how You're elevating us through this difficulty. We trust You in the process. We would like to access Your wisdom. We want to access You primarily, Father. But we want to access Your wisdom and Your truth, your word. We want to access your promotion and your love for us, but we want to access you in this. We thank you for the trouble, and we want to access you. Now, in this place, I would like each of us to wholeheartedly yield to God. There's a scripture that says, submit to God. And so often we want to get to the next part, which says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But let's yield first, okay? Say, I submit to you. I yield to you the outcome. I yield to you the process. I submit to you. You are my God. And you are my goal. I submit to you. I believe in your love for me. Keep your eye on that thing, okay? We're talking about an issue, a situation with your situation. Keep your eye on it, and keep your eye on him. Say, I love you, Father. I yield to you. I know you will accomplish the very best. I trust you. I put my hope in you. I set a firm expectation toward you. You will rescue me. You're good. And you have purchased my rescue. You will rescue me. And I will see your kingdom come. In this area. In my life. I hope in you. I expect your goodness. Okay, open your eyes and look at me for a moment. I want you to understand that the goodness of God is pursuing you in this arena. In this specific arena, the goodness of God is hunting you down to acquire you, to capture you, to get you. He intentionally is after good for you. He's purposeful. I want you to have a sense of impending good. Are you ready? Set your heart to have this overarching impending good. God's going to accomplish good. Ready? Expect Him. Hope in Him. Hope in Him. I want to remind us, we only barely know what good is. He's good. And everything He gives us, that's good. And we don't know which is better, this or that, but it's good. What He gives us is good. Remember, He's good. Have this expectation, this sense of impending good.
When
we used to do a lot of, like, some of you were around when we used to do all the healing nights and prophecy nights, and remember all that stuff we used to do? It's good stuff. And our purpose, by and large, was to give you experience so that you go out and just do it in regular real world, which many of you do. That's the desire is not to do it all here at church, or, you know, have a special night to. That's fine too. There's nothing wrong with that. But our purpose is that always been that you go out there and do it out there, wherever out there happens to be for you. When we were teaching, when we trained, our ministry model recognizes the difficulties, recognizes the availability of the salvation of God to accomplish every need of mankind, every single one. But also recognizes that God has a trajectory and a plan and a purpose and a direction and he's got goodness that he wants to do. We may or may not know which goodness is the first goodness to show up. He might want prophecy and then healing. He might want to, you know, work on the forgiveness thing and then, you know, work on the mental health and then get the physical. Who knows? Who knows? He does. And so we have access to that. So remember, again, we've got this issue, the situation right in front of us. So the question is, what's the good you have for me in this? And how do I access the power to accomplish that goodness with you, Father? You ready? Put it in front of you again. Holy Spirit, manifest yourself in power here before us. We desire to see healing. So show us how to walk through the process of accessing your goodness. Lead us into all truth as we walk with you. In the name of Jesus, I just release gifts of faith in Jesus' name into each here. Just to see your goodness accomplished in the circumstances of life. I'm going to talk to you again. Quickly for a moment. I want you to hear me out here. Very often, there's better ways and poorer ways to accomplish things, okay? You can still accomplish them either way, but there's sometimes better ways, okay? Let me explain one thing. One thing is, there's spiritual force in curses that come from various locations. Some of them you're aware of, and some of them you're not aware of. Okay, that's sort of obvious and stupid.
It's true. Sometimes, you know, there's stuff that comes down the family line to you or to whoever it is you're praying with. You know, it could be anger or lust or any. It could be any manner of evil could come down the family line. And maybe it's obvious to you. Maybe it's not. But one of the powerful things that we have access to is the very fact that Jesus became a curse for us so that we could be owed the blessings that were owed to Jesus himself. He became a curse for us so that we could become blessing. So we could receive it and become it. Many times we fight through things, you know, even like deliverance or something. You fight through it and you get some level of freedom maybe. And then, you know, next week you find yourself needing to fight through it again. Very often, the best approach is to address the curse first. Okay? Well, I'm not saying that you have to always do it that way, but it's a good idea to address that where the Lord would lead you, and often that's a good place to start. So, again, put it in front of you. Father, would you just give to us your wisdom about this? In the name of Jesus, I apply his blood to each of these circumstances. And where there's a family or maybe it could be generational, but it could be some other connection, maybe even actions, the curse of certain personal actions or whatever. I apply the blood of Jesus to absolutely destroy the effects of that curse. In the name of Jesus, we release blessing in the place of cursing. I cut off, in Jesus' name, the curse, because he was made a curse for us. I cut off the access of the enemy to these precious ones because Jesus made that power available to us. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessing. I declare a refreshing. I declare a blessing, a replacement of the curse with a blessing. In fact, I declare the blessings that come from the generation of Father. Because these are your children. And it's their children, or maybe their sort of children. So I release in Jesus' name a generational blessing into each one of these by the blood of Jesus. I apply the blood to the various circumstances that we're looking at. In the name of Jesus, I apply the blood for the blessing and for a termination of the curse. Enemy, you are now put on notice. You have no right here. The curse does not draw you, enable you, even allow you. The blessing, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fall fresh and fill. These are the ones that they're concerned with. I just release grace to pursue them because of the blessing due your Son, Father, your Son Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I declare blessings. Blessings of hearing. Blessings of clarity. Blessings of salvation. Propagating blessings. Blessings that go and then they go again. Blessings that generate blessings. Generous blessings that pour out more blessings. I declare it. I release even that blood flow. In Jesus' name, I release the blood flow to flow and flow and flow and to generate the blessings in Jesus' name.
I declare over each of these situations that the power of God and His goodness and His truth and His holiness and His righteousness, those are the things attracted to the situation instead of the junk of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I release an attractiveness in these circumstances to your purposes. Your purposes which have been eternal and will be eternal. The eternal purposes of God. I release it in Jesus' name. Enemy, you are now put on notice that you're not welcome to be interfering in these arenas. I speak freedom into these children of God and to those they're concerned with. I speak freedom and I declare freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Holy Spirit, fall in. Fall fresh. Fall on. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. Refreshing freedom in Jesus' name. Seal, Holy Spirit, with your presence, freedom and life in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name I speak healing. Where there's a need for mental healing, I just speak mental healing. I speak peace and joy. I speak centeredness on God and His truth. I just declare a receptivity over these, your precious ones, and their targets as well. Receptivity to recept to clarity from God, to revelation, receptivity to revelation in Jesus' name over each of these. Eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand in Jesus' name. I pray that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened, that they would know Him in all the incredible ways of who He is. I assign angels to these. In the name of Jesus, I assign angels to these and to the ones they care for. To strengthen them and to help them as they learn to operate in revelation. New levels of revelation. In Jesus' name. Just to be strong and to do warfare and to defend and to encourage and to minister. Angels, go forth in Jesus' name. Even go forth into the various homes affected and proclaim the words declared. Release the words of the Lord that have been declared over these situations, in Jesus' name. I declare healings in bodies, whether that's blood systems or endocrine systems or nervous systems or digestive systems. Energy systems or support system. I speak strength and health. I declare health into these systems in Jesus' name. Bodies, come into alignment with the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done in these bodies and in these minds in Jesus' name. I speak healing into relationships. Father, we ask you for second and third and 50th and billionth chances in relationships. And like an openness, like a freedom to start over or something. A refreshment, a new beginning in relationship. I declare it forth in Jesus' name. I declare a divine forgetfulness with respect to sins against. A release of forgiveness and a divine forgetfulness. Like you forget, Father. We just ask you for that, for us too. That there would be a release in Jesus' name. For healing, deep, deep healing in relationships. An ability to just leap over things, to fly over them, to almost have them not be. That we'd be able to see through like you see through and release grace like you release grace. We just declare it in Jesus' name. I speak spiritual freedom to those and cut all of them. Freedom, 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 freedom. And Lord, wisdom to how to maintain and leverage freedom. I just declare in Jesus' name, freedom, freedom, freedom in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would cause wisdom to come to many that would know how to operate in authority in the new level of freedom. Operate in the authority and the strength that you have for them to operate in this arena, in this situation. With freedom comes authority. I just want to let you know, freedom brings a necessity of operation under and in authority. And I just release it to you in Jesus' name. Just wisdom and truth. Spirit, just fall fresh out upon us and cause us to just live differently, we pray. In authority. That the fullness of your salvation would not only take hold, but expand and continue to expand. The increase of peace and your government would know no end in this arena that we hold before you. That the increase of peace and your government would know no end in this arena. We declare it in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we thank you that you are good. Lord Jesus, that you have accomplished, that you have overcome, and that we are overcoming. We thank you for your testimony and for our testimony. Cause us to live in that, expand it, pour it out. Jesus' name. I bless these, your precious ones here today. I speak to them encouragement. I speak to them courage. As they are overcoming, courage. and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You are overcomers. I declare it. I bless you with the genetics, the unction, the empowerment of the overcomer. In Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you. I want to encourage you. God's not done in this arena, this one right here. He's accomplishing right there. There's good stuff there. But let me just say, it's the blood of the Lamb. It's the word of the testimony, which means it propagates, okay? And they love not their lives unto death. That means you just keep right on rocking. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I bless you guys. Thanks for being here today. Good to be with you. Love you all. Much, much grace to you.